So we've talked in this class a little bit philosophically about spiritual gifts. Do they continue? What are they supposed to be for? What does the Bible say? You know, we've had those sort of intellectual engagement with them. My hope in the next 2 weeks is to move a bit more into practical, which will be a little more conversational, which will be great. But I really hope to shape how you think about gifts is where we've maybe been, to how you apply gifts. So this being a little more personal to you. How am I in the right space or place? Am I using these gifts in a way that I ought to be? Am I maximizing the gifts that God has given me? Those sorts of questions. So every conversation we have today, I don't want to be this theoretical conversation. I want it to be about you, if that makes sense. So you know how sometimes we're like, it's not about you? It's about you. It's about us, corporately, but not just thinking about other people, but thinking about ourselves and how we are shaped or shapen for ministry. So, Ben, will you pray for us, begin us? Thanks.
God, thanks for meeting with us here today. We thank you for the relationship we have with you and you have with us, and we pray that you would give us insight into how you shaped us and gifted us to love you through serving you and others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. All right. So have you ever served in a role that was a bad fit? This is a good place to start the class off, right? Like, how about a time when you did something and you're like, wow, let's never do that again. What happened? Anybody? Yeah, Mike.
Jake.
Actually being a deacon.
Being a deacon?
Oh, no. No. Yeah, my first attempt at deacon at my first church. I'm like, is this actually how men act? And it wasn't a good situation. And I was really hesitant on taking this deaconship here because of my experience. So with our help at a home group and that entire, it was a 2-year process. I don't know if anybody knows this in this room. It was almost a 2-year process for me to get actually on this board. So, yeah, definitely questioned, you know, it worked out in the end, of course, you know.
So with past history and
exact,
experience.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anybody serve in a role that was a bad fit?
After college, I accepted a job in San Francisco that I wasn't near prepared for. I got fired a month later, and it was the happiest day of my life.
Nice.
Actually, through that, though, the Lord got me to be a church secretary, and I wasn't a Christian. So.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
He hadn't let go of me.
All right. Everybody else has had perfect fits. I love it. It's great. Yeah, Paige back there, Mike. You don't get to sit down, Mike. All your steps are coming in today. All right, Paige is going to be voice notes.
Honestly, children's church.
Yeah.
For years, I did it more out of obedience and being helpful because there was a need.
Yeah.
Like, I did not feel like a good teacher.
Yeah.
But I did it because I felt led because there was an opening. So.
A strong bridge in the gap, huh? Yeah. Ben.
So this is related. I can talk loud too.
is that a spiritual gift? Loud talk.
Projection?
I'm pretty sure all my teachers in school said I had that gift.
Yeah. They still do. So when Erin and I were first got together, she was like, hey, you need to come help me in junior high. We should serve together. And I was like, I don't like junior hires. I don't even like teaching. I know the irony. And then I was in junior high and high school and fourth grade and junior high again for like 20 some odd years. So at first I was like, but it was great. Like Calvin Robertson was in our junior high group. So it's fun to see your former junior hires running around and work with junior hires. So just because it seems like it's going to be a bad fit.
A surprising fit, maybe.
Yeah.
What have you guys learned about how God has built you for ministry? So, I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord, but I'm guessing there's probably some experiences you've had, and you got, you know what? God taught me something about how He wired me.
Short testimony, how I got involved in ministry. You know, I was an Awana kid at First Baptist in Cottonwood back then, and that's where I got, you know, that seed got planted. And then having that taken away from me, like I did not go to church from when I was 8 years old all the way till, you know, my sophomore year sporadically in high school. But that, you know, how God uses that, you know, just that tiny bit of exposure, you know, and then how much Awana is important to me in teaching the kids here. That, you know, is how God, you know, built me for that. You know, just that, you know, exposure and then being able to, you know, He has a plan. And, you know, that's why Awana is so important to me and important to the parents here and leadership and stuff like that.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, Melissa.
Yeah, I can remember being at a church and we were having some kind of a
She can remember being in a church and we're having some kind of a...
It was some kind of a ministry thing. And when it had finished, I immediately got up and started cleaning tables and, you know, doing all this stuff. And I asked the Lord, I said, well, what is this? You know, this isn't like something I would normally do very well at home. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, helps.
Yeah.
It's a gift of helps, service. And I've always loved to serve. And it just is something I think God gives people. Those people that you don't see in the background who are cleaning up and doing things and have a natural gift to do it. I think the Holy Spirit's leading that.
Yeah.
You know, and it gets harder as you, those gifts change as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
God gives you different gifts depending upon where He places you. I've had a lot of different churches. And so, you know, I've always held on to the teaching children because I've done that the last 30 years. But it's been harder in this last season of getting older, and it's just gotten a lot harder to know my gifts. I'm glad I'm here and seeing what, you know, because life goes on and your body breaks down and you're going, okay, how am I going to do this now? You know, that kind of thing. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, our gifts express themselves differently based on circumstances
and
life stage.
And think bigger than I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
For a long time, I've learned to appreciate the concept of the body of Christ and working as a team and different people having different roles and members having different roles. And I'm definitely not a natural leader. I'm very comfortable, though, in being part of a team and trying to accomplish something together, whether it's as two people helping lead a Bible study or the team of deacons or a missions trip or whatever. I'm not going to be getting on the boat and say, follow me, but I'll get on the boat with them and, you know, whatever, a couple opportunities have come along like that. So I just really thank God for His wisdom that He's got people in all personalities and makeups to have the leaders and have the helpers, and I just really value team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, it's obviously a part of a culture of neighborhood church, right? A unique or distinct part. Ben's back there, Mike. He's got a distinct part of neighborhood church that we work hard at, having teams here and various levels of leadership. So,
I've learned that there's a lot of joy to be found in serving in an area of ministry that you recognize that God has given you gifts or talents for. So finding something that fits you well, given the tools that God has put in your life, and using those to serve Him. There's a ton of joy in it. And I know I'm speaking from a capacity of serving largely in worship ministry. You're up on stage, and so people see you, and a lot of people know you before you know them. So it's presents an opportunity for some really interesting and unique interactions with people, but remembering that, you know, like John was mentioning, every component of ministry within a church is important, And God is the one who's given each of us the abilities to serve in different ways, and there's a lot of joy to be found in that.
Yeah. A hammer's happy when it's driving a nail. Yeah, Gary.
I'm not sure that we always know there. How has God built you? I think that he often builds us in just our daily lives a little bit at a time. I know that in over 30 years of going on mission trips, the things that I could do are the very things that I had been doing for years, just as far as work and play and so on, that God was training me for the things that we were doing on the mission trips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get to that when we get to the E in experience for our shape. So I just want to read a couple scriptures to you about the intentionality of God's design. So in Psalm 139, this is maybe familiar to some of you or all of you. I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. And yet, there was none of them. There's this picture in this psalm, this beautiful portrait of the intimacy with which God makes each of us and knows us and has a trajectory, a plan for our lives that's beautiful in there. And when you think about that as the filter over which he created you and placed you in the body of Neighborhood Church with exactly the same intentionality that we read here in the psalm. Because I can't tell you how many people I've had conversations with that form a spectator adoption to church. And so what that means is I can go watch professional athletes play. My job is to sit in the stands, and they have all the skills and abilities to do it. It's a spectator mentality. It doesn't belong in the church. It's not part of what we do in any way, shape, or form. This is an engagement sport. We're all playing. And when you think about, well, I just don't know. I just don't have the gifts. I just am not like them. Great. I'm glad you're not like me. But what you are is perfectly designed by God who knows each one of your days and designed you exactly as you are to be. That doesn't mean that we don't improve. I'll get there later, but it's important that we understand that we are created exactly how God intends us to be needed in the church, in the body of Christ. And that is specific for Patty Spoon and Neighborhood Church. That's how detailed the orientation is, right? Every one of your names in its proximity in this location, which is our current expression of the body of Christ, you have place here. You have gifts and abilities and personality, and all of that is intentionally designed by God with purpose. And it's not just to sit and watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, and then I'm going to add on 11. There's some context in between, but I think it preserves enough for you to understand. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. In other words, it was on purpose. You're on purpose. Who you are, what you do, what you have, what you walk through is all on purpose. There's something really critical, I believe, for your health and for the health of Neighborhood Church for us to believe that. When we don't believe that, I believe we believe a lie of the enemy that we're not useful, we're not intentional, we're not helpful, we're not a part. And all of those things break down exactly the opposite of what this class is, right? Spiritual gifts exist to strengthen the body of Christ. It's meant to make us a strong church. And what I mean by strong is healthy, growing spiritually, impacting the community, doing the things that help us to grow and glorify God. That's a strong church, not just a polished church. So today we're going to be going through a class that I think might have originally been put out by, who's a purpose-driven guy? Rick Warren, and what is his church? Saddleback. It was used years ago by Saddleback, and then 20 years ago, when I came to this church, it was part of a base path class that we had. It was the 301 part of the base path class. I really liked it. I used it in some retreats with our high school students as we talked about this subject. And I just think it's a helpful little structure on which to introspect on how we might be useful to the body of Christ. And so it's the tool we're going to go through today. Although I've added the word end to the end of shape, and I know shaped is better, but shape in fits the end, so you're just going to have to live with it. Let's see. So we've talked a lot about spiritual gifts before, and spiritual gifts is the S. But I just want to tell you a few things about spiritual gifts that I don't think we've covered or will cover at other times, and I think they're valuable. So spiritual gifts are for believers. To each is given a manifestation, we read, of the Spirit for the common good. Ephesians 4, 7, but grace was given to each one of us. This is contextually us as believers, according to the measure of Christ. Spiritual gifts are not for unbelievers. This is 1 Corinthians 2:4. For the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, when you've repented, believed, the Holy Spirit indwells you because you are in relationship with Christ, you have access to understand things that are spiritual that other people do not. Operating in spiritual giftedness is within that category. You can't earn or work for a spiritual gift. So we read a little bit about that in those verses too, right? According to the measure of Christ, Ephesians 4, 7. All these are empowered by the same Spirit who apportions each to each one individually as he wills. Which, by the way, I believe is both true in quantity, in how much of a gift. There are people who seem to be able to operate in gifts in different capacities, right? So some people conserve and some people conserve. I don't know how to explain it. Like, they just have a different depth and capacity to accomplish it with. And also, people have a different number of gifts. Like, some people have what appear to be a few gifts. And some people appear just to have a very specific and unique gift, and that's the Holy Spirit apportioning to each as he wills. It's part of that design. So at the same time, there are some interesting verses about gifts. We're supposed to fan into flame the gift that is in us. Or at least Timothy certainly is supposed to do that, which tells us this gift that was in Timothy by laying on of hands and prophecy was supposed to be something that he was contributing to in some form or fashion. And so while we can't earn or decide our spiritual gift, there's a sense in which we can engage in partnership of it. When talking about the gifts, it says we should earnestly desire the gifts. So it's good to pray about, ask God for gifts, to say, God, I am not very good at serving. Help me to serve. Give me the gift of serving. That's an okay thing to do. In the end, it is still the Spirit that gets to decide, yes, I'm going to apportion. Yes, I'm going to answer that. But it's not a one-way valve that we don't have any relationship with. God is not that way. God is the giver of good gifts. He's the Father who gives good gifts. I'm to develop the gifts that God gives me. So that's that verse on fan into flame that we talked about. It's a sin to waste the gifts that God gives me. Now, this is maybe a negative way to say it, but it's important because I think it's easy in our humility to try to sit there and say, well, I just don't feel like I'm ready or qualified or I don't have something to offer. God says that he's gifted you for the building up of the body of Christ, and that each one has a gift as he has apportioned it. To not walk in obedience to that is the same as not walking in obedience as any other part of Scripture. It's something that God designed for us. It's our best. It's his best for us. And to reject that is to reject him and his wisdom for us and to walk in sin, to miss the mark. So it's a sin to waste the gifts God has given us. You think about the parable of the talents, right? Hey, here's this talent. Okay, cool. I buried it so you wouldn't get angry or I wouldn't do something wrong. And he's like, no, that's actually the wrong thing. Don't bury what God gives. It's an honor. Using my gift honors God and fills me with joy. John 15, 8 through 11. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his loves. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Again, it's sort of a broad scripture, but you can understand. We talked about in 1 Corinthians 13 being sandwiched between 12 and 14 that the foundation of operating the gifts is love. Here you see love in this passage, and you understand that God wants our joy to be full in him, and part of that is operating in these gifts in this way. So there's a few things about spiritual gifts. What about heart? So I want us to consider three ways in which our hearts or our passions are directed. Is there a role you like to do? Is there a specific people you like to help? Is there a passion for a cause, something you want to see change? So maybe you're a designer, you're a developer, you like to make something out of nothing. You enjoy getting something started from scratch, or you're a pioneer, you like to test new concepts, you're not afraid of risk. Maybe you like to organize. Any organizers in here? Where's Ellen? I saw Ellen at the church the other week, and she had her little label maker, and she was in the Discipleship Resource Center where all those books have been like accumulating chaotically for the last year. She was in there, boom, organizing gift was happening for her, yeah. Operate, maintain. I love to efficiently maintain something that's already organized. Repair, I love to fix things that are broken. Serve and help, I love to assist others in their responsibility. Acquire and possess. You're like, that doesn't sound like a spiritual gift. You know what? We get resources here as a church, and if we can get the ones that are the best or the cheapest or the most affordable, what a great opportunity to serve Christ in that way. And there are people who are able to help us with that. Excel, somebody who loves to make the team the best and achieve that high standard. Influence, the ability to convert people to a way of thinking. Perform. Some people enjoy that idea of being up front, to improve, make things better, to lead, to persevere, to follow the rules, to prevail. There's lots of roles that we can enjoy being in. And then the question, when you like to be in a role, is how could I use that in a way that blesses the church, right? There's no doubt any of these things we're going to talk about today could be used positively or negatively, right? So if you're comfortable being up front, what a great person to do announcements, right? What a great person to bring up here and say, hey, get us excited about the things that the church is doing, you know? But don't, it's not all about you, right? It's not all about that. It's about blessing the church with something that you're not afraid to do. There's great ways to use it. A lot of times we think about it, who we like to work with. And specifically, it seems like to me, in the current church culture, is this idea of age groups. Anybody love babies around here? Anybody not want to work with babies? Yeah. God designs us with a different, like, they are literally scary for some of us, certain age groups. Toddlers, preschool children, elementary school, junior high. Now, one thing that's true about neighborhood church, and I think this, I trust that God provides this, but we have a lot of ministries and we have a high quantity of need in working with children. And yet, we want to be a church who ministers well to children. We believe that's really important in our ability to impact culture, help families, see the gospel go out in meaningful ways, because these young kids are capturing this and taking it on for generations, and we want to teach them well, we want to educate them well, we want to love them well, and so we do a lot of that here. But we have older adults, we have women, we've got a men's ministry that started up, and people who are passionate, like, I want to see great things happening among our men. That trickle down economics, right? Like, if you start working with that, good things happen. We've got a lot of priority we've been putting on women's ministry with having Erin in here. I believe her ladies just went away this weekend, and they were brainstorming what's next for women's ministry, how to grow that. Singles, families, single parents. Some people have walked that road, know how to minister to people who are really alone feeling at times. Young marrieds, do you have a passion to help people start those first few years off right, where you build that foundation that can be so beneficial? Older adults, all kinds of their own unique issues of wrestling with family and physical health and loneliness and all kinds of stuff that can come in that range. So sometimes we just have a passion to work with the demographic. And Melissa talked about certain things that change. Sometimes your passion can change. I loved working with high school students. Did you hear the past tense? There was just a time, and God just kind of started to change my heart, and like doing one more event where I was entertaining them, rather, I just wanted to teach the Bible. I was like, let's talk about something that matters. And I had to like somehow couch it in game time and silliness, and I was just like, at some point I just sort of couldn't do that anymore. But the idea of doing something different, God brought that about. So let's see, a passion for a cause. Some people can be passionate about parenting. They're passionate about evangelism, about families, about at-risk children, divorce recovery, worship, financial management, mobilizing people for ministry, ethnic diversity, racial issues, maybe deafness, blindness ministry, all kinds of politics. There's all kinds of things that we can be excited about that matter to us. God gives each of us a different heart. And actually, if you open your ears when someone has a heart for something, it's kind of interesting to listen if you can listen carefully. But again, it's one of those areas where I think you could either use that in a way that's powerful and beautiful for the church and its health, or maybe not. It's a stewardship issue. If God's putting something in you, how are you stewarding it? So heart, there's more. Drug and alcohol recovery. We've got neighborhood recovery here. All kinds of love. Sanctity of life. Health and fitness. Maybe you're just interested in taking good care of the bodies God gave us. There's context in which that can happen. Homelessness. Minister to homeless. There's a lot of homeless in our community. All kinds of opportunity for our passions to be expressed. So it's heart. What are you passionate about? That's not a rhetorical question. What has God given you guys passion for? Yeah, Mike?
Like I said, I'm an example of what Awana turns out to be. I'm here. I'm doing what I do ministry-wise here at this church because of Awana when I was a Sparky. So that's, I'm passionate about Awanas.
Good. I know you guys have passions. Take a little risk.
I'd say excellent and engaging music that edifies the body and glorifies God.
Excellent, engaging, edifying. You couldn't think of one more E?
I'm not Nick.
Nick will work on that for you later. Yeah. Right over there.
Well, I would second music, of course, but I was going to think about other things I'm passionate about. I love to work on projects, so I love tools and engineering and building stuff, so it's fun to use that in the church setting and build stuff a lot of times with you. I'm an engineer, so I'm passionate about that stuff, so I work on our church's water system, which isn't always the most exciting thing, but it's just God's gift to me, and it's nice to use the gifts I have for His church and His glory and His people. So, just that kind of stuff. Other than music is my number one, of course, but it's interesting that there's other things too that I have passion for and that are fun to use to serve our church.
Well, when I was younger, I loved kids. I kind of outgrew that just because it was getting harder to get up and down.
I think you can still love them, but you enjoy them differently.
Yes.
That's what I like to say.
Good way to put it. I like that.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's more political.
and then I got involved in Celebrate Recovery, and I love to minister to women now. There's just such a need out there, and such a need for them recognizing who they are in Christ. You know, a lot of the younger women don't get it. I didn't get it when I was younger. So it's fun to see as I move out of and move into being single, how God is opening the doors more for that. And really exciting, really cool.
Yeah, that's a stage of life. God does different things, yeah. What are you passionate about?
In the past couple years, God has really given me a passion for our persecuted brothers and sisters across the world, and I was not expecting that because I just haven't thought about it much in the past, but Voice of the Martyrs, their magazine, and I've been listening to their podcast recently, and it's just taught me a lot and opened my eyes, and like I have a passion for it, and being a stay-at-home mom, like besides prayer, like I don't know how else to like serve in that passion. So like, but I feel like God is kind of calling me to something, but I don't know what.
Cool.
So it's like weird. What do I do with that?
That's a great question to ask. That's exactly the point of this class, right? Is we're sort of saying, what's in your life that you're not asking that question about? Like, how could I use that?
Yeah.
What does God want to do?
I really enjoy working with people with disabilities. So I feel like I have a passion for helping people with disabilities, and I love working with kids with severe disabilities. So in the past, the Lord has used me in that capacity, so I don't know what He'll do, continue to do, but I really have love for that.
That's great. So in our discussion about future vision and neighborhood church, there's two areas where we're really looking forward to emphasizing a neighborhood church, and one of those is the way that we as a church body begin to get outside of the walls of this building and into our communities and carry the beauty of a relationship with God and the light of the gospel out in ways that impact the world. And when I think about, you know, helping people with disabilities or having a passion for the persecuted, there are ways that they can just express themselves. And so I think that there will be a lot of opportunities. I'm hopeful about God engaging us, preparing us to engage with our community in ways that express some of these passions. We're like, you know what? I'm passionate about young marrieds, and I think I'm just going to go start a class at the community center about healthy marriage on biblical principles and see who shows up and see what happens. And how cool would that be? I'm not talking about inviting them to a churchy class. I'm like saying, let's go and take our light into the community. Or, you know, homeless people. I have a passion. I love to cook, and I love homeless people. And I'm going to just do soup at this place and pray for people if they want it. And that's what I'm going to do. All kinds of expressions. I'm just like, that's just spitballing, right? I don't know what your individual things are, but I think your passions and your gifts and your experiences all can come into that. Abilities. So our abilities. God has given us abilities. This is the category we would call natural talents, right? So I told you I have a hard time necessarily delineating between a perfect list of what's a spiritual gift and what's a natural talent. I know that God is supernaturally multiplying one. They're both gifts from God, but there are a lot of abilities that you may have to entertain and sing and speak, to recruit and motivate. Have you ever, like, Dan Eckley is a professional recruiter. I'm sure if you've been in this church at any point in time, you must have been recruited by Dan for something at some point in time. That's just what Dan does. It's part of his skill set. Interview, to be able to talk with somebody maybe and engage and understand really what's going on underneath. There's all kinds of artistic abilities, graphic abilities. We would love somebody at Neighborhood Church who has some form of digital graphic abilities, because Nick and I would love to not have those abilities. So if you're out there and you're like, they wouldn't want that, they wouldn't need me, I'm just going to sit here and spectate, stop it. Come and bring your skills and use them to make cool banners or flyers for camp or whatever it might be that would be wonderful for Neighborhood Church. People can manage and supervise things, counseling and encouraging. Might be leading a small group. Maybe God has given you athletic abilities, and you're like, you know what? I did play a lot of soccer, and I was quite good at it. My body's a little older now, but how cool would it be for us to do? You've seen leagues where there are these leagues of sports that get played at church campuses, and things happen there, and it's an opportunity for people to come in. It's an on-ramp or a doorway into understanding a community of God's people, where hopefully when they hang around with us long enough, the gospel is such a part of who we are and what we love that they just get that, right? They just hear that in us. Lots of abilities. Edit and proofread. Nick was saying last week how he wished I would have maybe shared my PowerPoint with him, because grammar is not for me. And if you guys haven't figured that out yet, it just is what it is. I'm sorry. I took calculus in high school and probably some sort of remedial English. I don't know. I think it wasn't remedial, but it wasn't honors. I went to honors, I went to honors English like my freshman year, and they were like, okay, in the next month, we need you to read these four books. I went from there to my counselor, and I said, this is not the class for me. I need a different class, one where they don't have all the thick books. All right, sorry. Hobbies. Think about hobby abilities you have. One of my favorite things to do is to sit and have lunch with the harvesters. The harvesters have such cool stories and abilities. You will learn stuff from these guys, and you can use that. Woodworking, canning, knitting, crocheting, cooking. I know people who made blankets for the things that were going on in Ukraine, and there's gardening. I don't know if you know, but down by the Anderson River Park, there's a community church-based garden that supplies food for ACCA. Do you know that? Do you know you could use your Miracle-Gro techniques on giving people food? That's cool things you can do. Cooking and feeding. All kinds of stuff. Recall. You know, Doug is building a team of people who, as we're talking about, you may see we're doing different things with ushers or how you get welcomed in Neighborhood Church or whether or not we're doing Welcome Neighborhood. There's a team of people who are meant to be welcoming people in Neighborhood Church, help them understand what they may or may not need. If you have an ability to know a name and to communicate that and to remember, what a gift. Not a gift I have. It's a gift I work at, but maybe I should be praying for that one more. So all kinds of abilities we can have. Technical abilities. Look back through that hole in that wall over there. We would like, Mary, would you like some people to help you with PowerPoint? Mary would love that. It gets created, you create it, you click the forward button, you click the backward button, you help pay attention. I bet somebody out there has that ability. Let's see. Counting ability, good. But seriously, we do financial stuff around here, right? Welcoming ability, we talked about that a little bit. Musical ability, landscaping. Gary and I were talking about how he's used his ability in landscaping to serve in various mission trips he's been on, and it has really been a blessing. I've been there firsthand when it mattered, and he was leading guys to make concrete and all kinds of stuff. Decorating ability. We've had people paint our windows and decorate for Christmas, and all those things can be a blessing. Don't assume that your abilities are unnecessary, unhelpful. Don't rise to the occasion of being useful. Just ask God, hey, God, you made me really enjoy this, or you've given me the skills. My work environment trained me with this. How could I use that to build and encourage and support your church? What are some places at Neighborhood Church where some abilities could be helpful and specific ministry opportunities? So let me rephrase the question. It's really obvious if you're like, somebody has the gift of music that they could do it on the worship team. So let's just, or someone speaks or teaches, they could do that, right? Okay, let's just pull all those off the table. What about interesting and untypical ideas? How might they have expression here at Neighborhood Church? What kind of ideas? Maybe you can come up with a specific ability and someone can help find it if you don't have both pieces of it. Yeah, Susan.
Can we go back to the music one?
Yeah.
So you don't have to just use your music up there. Like when we were brainstorming about children's ministry, we suggested that we do some music with children's ministry. So if you have a guitar and you'd rather not be up there or whatever, you could talk to us about using your gift. And we talked about like if all the children learned a song, they could come up and they could be up here helping lead worship as a part of our body in a way that helps them know that they're important too. So don't just think of music as this that Jeremy yeah. and the Absher family and others do so well. It could be more of a sideline gig if that's your thing.
Yeah, thank you. That was good. You're raising your hand and you have the mic.
And I have the mic. And my name is Mike. I remember back in the day when I was in high school, we had this game called Alchemy. You know, you should take little things and you'd create, like, take a stone and something and you create something. I think something that, like, people that pray or people that have knowledge, a knowledge base of something that can't physically do it, would come along somebody that has a talent that could take that knowledge and put it to practical use.
Yeah.
I think that's something that could
so
really
So the chemistry into. Is the combining of
combining
people
of two people and yeah. just like.
We had people serve to create that space back there. It was actually a fun team. We had people who made cabinets and we had people who were great at HVAC units and we had electricians and we had drywallers and we had carpet people and we had just. So it wasn't like we had one contractor or we were able to do that very, very affordably because people jumped in there and helped out. It's great. Yeah, Ben.
I've been excited to see and hear of ministries where there are particular people in the community who just need a hand with something around their property. Maybe they're elderly and unable to maintain their yard or whatever it might be. I know, especially as a young man in junior high and high school growing up here in the church, I relished those opportunities. It was fun to get to work with others. I didn't have the skills, the tools, or the abilities to do those things, but somebody put that together so that we could come together and serve somebody, and I learned a lot from that.
Yeah. And I bet there's somebody out here who's like, sure, if they let me put together a flyer, I'll get a team. We'll go over to Fred and Glenna Esser's house and help them with that winter storm stuff that just happened. Or, yeah. Melanie.
When we lived in North Carolina, people loved and served us in a difficult time
in some really creative ways. There was a time when Matt was not able to be super involved, and I had the three little girls, and there was like an old lady who would say, drop your laundry off when you drop the girls off at school and I'll have it back by the end of the school day. And she would literally take all my little kids' laundry, wash it all, fold it up, and she loved doing it. And there were the people who would pick up my kids at school when I had to work and bring them home, or one lady took them out to ice cream every week, which they still talk about. But anyway, you know, doing that stuff. And then like as we moved into a different season of our family, things were kind of rough financially, and we had a sedan, but there were six of us, and so in like carpool line at the Christian school, it would take us like 10 minutes, right? Because we're reaching down between car seats, trying to buckle and trying to get everybody in, and somebody that I didn't even really know very well called and said, hey, it seems like you could use a bigger car, and our neighbor's selling a van that's in really good condition. We'd like to buy it for you, like, if you're okay with that. Like, it was just all of these things that were not these extraordinary gifts, but that made a huge difference in our lives. So, I don't know, maybe doing laundry is a gift, and there's a way to use that.
Yeah, absolutely. The spiritual gift of laundry. I'm sure you guys were thinking about that before this class. That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, Beth. I'd like to also throw out time. Even if you don't necessarily have a particular ability for something, one thing that we can all give is time.
Yeah. Time is a valuable commodity. We've talked about that in some of this class. So personality, I just want to say a few things about personality. there are some great resources out there on personality. There are different personality types. There's classic, introvert and extrovert, right? Put me with a lot of people and I get excited. Put me all by myself, I enjoy that better. Or leave me by myself is that. Or now they've got ambiverts, which do a little bit of both. Or you've got Enneagrams, you've got DISC personality profiles, you've got Myers-Briggs personality profiles. So here's what I have to say with that. I think there's baby and there's bathwater there. I think that personality profiles are helpful because they can give you insight into yourself, sort of the same way we're looking at all of this shape stuff. I say, if I'm introverted, maybe I should lean towards these kind of ministries, or if I'm extroverted, or if I'm this kind of personality, maybe I should avoid that. They can be helpful. Thank you, Bart. Spiritual gift of bringing water. Brad and me is a full-time job around here. So personality types can be helpful. We did this with the elders. So here are all of your elders' personality profiles. No, you cannot read them. but here's my title. You ready for what my personality type is? The wizard inventor. It's probably in the most positive version of whatever I am, but it's nice of them to say so. But I just wanted to read something about, this is from a profile, it was kind of helpful. I'm an ENTP, so you can write that down if you want to figure out what kind of broken I am. You're creative, curious, assertive, task-oriented, and unconventional. You understand things quickly with great depth, which means you're most comfortable when developing new projects, ideas, and processes. A resourceful, outside-the-box thinker, you're capable of generating many creative solutions to a problem. Detailed plans feel confining to you. However, you may become frustrated with a step-by-step implementation process. This is why Jared and I work on projects together. key motivators, taking on new challenges, working with multiple challenges simultaneously, having flexibility to do things your own way, core values, questioning established values, controlled risk taking, variety, achievement. There's all kinds of things you can learn about yourself, and it also has some weaknesses in here, some things you should avoid or know about yourself. It had some interesting stuff for us. We were focusing on working on a team. You may irritate others by becoming impatient if others make an error or do not catch on to your ideas quickly, focusing so much on abstract thinking that you miss the concrete data, turning debate into competition and arguing simply for the sake of provoking thought, not giving other people the recognition or appreciation they deserve. So our personalities and an introspection into our personalities can help us know how we might work with other people, serve other people. But I want to say this about it as well. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled faces are beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We take that alongside the fact that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, that our heart of stone came out and our heart of flesh came out. And I want to contrast that against this idea of you are who you are. So yeah, you have a personality, you're uniquely created by God, you have a propensity to certain things, you like certain things, you work in a certain way, and yet, God is not leaving you where you are. He's making you more into the likeness of his son. He is shaping you every day in that direction. And so I don't know if Jesus would be the perfect balance of every personality type that's out there, or if he'd just be in between. He's semi-introverted, semi-extroverted. I don't know all that, but I know that I'm not stuck with all my liabilities. And all my described liabilities on a personality profile are not an appropriate excuse for why I can't do something that's good and right. Right? I just don't get along with others because I'm an outside-the-box thinker, so I'm sorry that your concrete ways are just, they don't work with my personality type. No. Get it together and learn about yourself and be loving and kind and generous to the people around you and know something about yourself that's going to require more attention for you than it might require for somebody else. Anyway, personalities. Baby in bathwater. I think those tools can be useful. Don't over-rely on them or over-let them define you. Experiences. Where are we at? We've got about 7 minutes. All right. Experiences. So spiritual experiences. What are some spiritual experiences that someone may have that could influence how they might build up others in the body of Christ? In other words, what's an experience that you've had with God, between you and God, that enables you to build up the body of Christ? Could be simple.
Yeah. Healing of past trauma.
Healing of past trauma. Yeah, absolutely.
Being a stepmother.
Being a stepmother? Okay. So, how many of you have come to faith? That's a spiritual experience, is it not? Do you think you could use that to build up the church? I would think so. I mean, to understand what it is to see your sin, understand who God is, repent of your sin, embrace the gospel, that's a spiritual experience you have that you could definitely use to build up the body of Christ. I'm assuming probably nobody in here has ever wrestled with doubt. No? Have you wrestled with doubt and God has brought you through that? Do you think that's a spiritual experience that you could use to build up the body of Christ as others wrestle with doubt? How many of you have had a mountain high moment where you're like, all the things were aligned, I was basically right there with Jesus, my face was starting to glow, you know, like the thing was happening where you're just like, those moments are an opportunity to help other people, right? They don't always stay. I understand that, but it's a spiritual experience. Anybody here discipled by somebody else? Yeah, you can use that discipleship to be a blessing to others. We talk here about Neighborhood Church about disciples making disciples making disciples. Right? The fruitfulness of our spiritual disciplines. You know, when you are reading your Bible, when you're praying, when you're investing yourself in those inputs into your own life, those things are spiritual experiences that can give you an opportunity to build up the body of Christ. I don't know how many times we've talked about Paul Fisher and his scripture memory. There's a guy who was doing spiritual disciplines and yet blessed me when he would come and share that scripture with me and encourage me with it. How about the zeal of that new believer? Right? Isn't it awesome to be? It's sort of like in marriage when you're around newlyweds and you're like, that's right. The little zeal, a little freshness to the relationship. You're like, look how excited they are about the grace of God. I remember what it was to feel that. I do feel that again, even for the moment that they're around. That zeal is a beautiful spiritual experience. Or have you ever been around somebody who's been walking with Jesus so long that the roots of that tree go down so deep that it seems like no matter what trauma life throws at them, they are not going to move? Those spiritual experiences are opportunities to build up the body of Christ. Life experiences. You guys mentioned some of these already. Anybody in here struggle to obey your parents? Anybody? Yeah. That's a generational, right? Like, how do we walk people struggling to obey their parents? Well, we've been there, right? And can you remember it? And can you help? submitting to authorities. Anybody struggle to submit to authorities? Just me? You heard that on my profile, right? Finding direction in your life. How many of you guys have wrestled to find that direction? Or what does that even mean to find direction in your life? What did you learn? Learning to have health in your relationships with others, right? Maybe it's friends, a spouse, or your family. Parenting, singleness, empty nesting, retirement. All of these are life experiences that we walk through, and we can help others walk through them well in the context of building up the body of Christ. Sometimes our experiences are painful. Ben mentioned that. Our painful experiences can be used to help others. I've watched firsthand as my wife's trauma of her parents' divorce have been an opportunity, a gift. I know that sounds weird, but when you're seeing somebody who feels alone because of the circumstances they're feeling, and that person can come alongside them and say, I've been there, I know that space, there's something beautiful about that. Or someone who's walked through depression or addiction or whatever it might be, divorce. There are a lot of spaces. A child that wanders away from the faith. Our pain can be an opportunity to help others who are in pain if we're willing to be vulnerable enough to share that. Educational experiences. So some of you probably went to college for something. Some of you probably didn't go to college and you learned on the job some skills. Some of you may have your doctorate, and some of you may have your master's, and some of you may have a certificate in networking, and some of you may have, there's all kinds of educational experiences, just like there's all kinds of practical experiences, but you may have received an education on how to set up solar energy. Maybe we need that. We were really close. Who was it that moved up to Oregon? Remember, what was his name? Can you help me out, Brad? The guy who was going to help us with a generator. Ben Ewing. Ben Ewing was a guy who was great at electrical. He was going to help us. Remember when we were outside and when PG&E was shutting off the power every other day and it's like windy, power's going down, and we're like, hey, how do we help the church overcome this? We got pretty close to like a generator that would be out there and that would turn on automatically, and that would, if we were having this right now, it wouldn't interfere with us and we wouldn't have to shut the place down. That's because he had certificates. It's because he had a degree. It's because he had educational experiences that he was willing to gift the church. Work and ministry experiences. There's really almost too many here to really spend a lot of time on, but maybe you're a camp counselor. Maybe you were on a maintenance team or a repair team. Maybe you were a painter. Maybe you did all kinds of different things. A lot of times we draw on past experiences that we've had. Maybe you did prison ministry, AV, whatever it could be. And I think I'm going to save needs for next time. So we'll continue this. I have a few other things we're going to talk about next time. So we'll talk about needs, which will actually be good, but I also want to talk about the non-idealism of what it looks like to use your spiritual gifts in the church. So it's not a perfect thing. It's not a perfect process. So in other words, if you have the gift of teaching and you're teaching, it's not like, oh my gosh, I enjoyed preparing it. It was effortless. Giving it didn't cost me anything spiritually. The feedback I got afterwards was all fantastic, right? Like, but there's a reality of operating in our spiritual gifts that we need to be honest about and talk about so that we're prepared as we go out there and begin to take risks and go, you know what, I think that's a place I might try. So we'll talk about that next week, and we'll talk about the last part of shaping the needs. So I'm going to pray for you guys. God, I pray that you would bring into each of our minds, places, and spaces, ideas about how we might faithfully bless your church, encouraging one another and building one another up, joining together as a family, as a team. God, I pray that the diversity of gifts and personalities and just the design that you created in your church, and specifically a neighborhood church, would be something we appreciate greatly, that part of our worship would be to watch as others use your design of them to build others up, and we would be glad to see that as a beautiful display of your presence in our body and in people's lives here, as a testimony of your faithfulness and presence among us. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Have a wonderful week.